Hi guys, Merlin from Metal Hammer here. This is normally where you would be about to hear our lovely regular weekly podcast, but unfortunately, because of the coronavirus situation in the UK at the moment, Future, our parent company, has decided it's probably best to just down tools and close the offices for a couple of weeks so people aren't kind of commuting in, using the tubes and all that kind of stuff. It's all totally normal protocol. Loads of other companies around the music industry are doing it. But it does mean that we can't all get into the studio together to do a podcast. So I'm afraid we won't be doing the Iron Maiden podcast Hall of Fame conversation with myself, Alexander Milas and Jonathan. That will be coming up though still, don't worry. Give it a couple of weeks or so, and when our schedules all line up, we'll all get back in together and crack on with that. But we didn't want to leave you with absolutely nothing this week. So in the meantime, here's a recent conversation that I had with Floor Jansen from Nightwish. We actually recorded it to originally drop nearer the release of the new album, but we thought, fuck it, they're on the cover right now. So let's just roll with it. So yeah, you're about to hear me talking to Floor Jansen. We met up in some offices in North London a couple of weeks back to talk about the new album, Human Nature, the crazy video for Noise, getting to play Wembley Arena, all the mad stuff that's happening in Nightwish world at the moment. It's a really great conversation. I really enjoyed chatting to Floor, so I hope you enjoy it as well. And we will be back with the regular podcast as soon as possible, hopefully no more than a couple of weeks or so. Stay tuned to facebook.com/metalhammerreaders for more info on that. Cheers guys, and if you're also self-isolated, maybe try and grab yourself a copy of Metal Hammer to read to pass the time. We'll see you soon. Thanks as always for your support. So 5 years between studio albums, that's a long time. That's kind of Iron Maiden, Metallica like levels of waiting between records. Do you think it was kind of necessary to have that gap so that by the time Tuamas, for instance, came to writing new material and you all got in that headspace, you were able to give it your full attention and make it what it needed to be?
Yeah, I guess it was, yeah. Also because we didn't feel any pressure of releasing things faster. Quality over quantity in that sense. But sure, after the last album, there was first a proper break, which really was felt very strong with the members that had been in the band since the beginning. Also, surely Tuomas has been touring non-stop since the beginning, and he needed a breather. Plus, he had other things in his creative head, so that needed to come up before he could continue with Nightwish.
Well, everyone stayed busy. I mean, you did a load of stuff in between the records as well.
Yeah, definitely. It was, you know, it gave me the time to release something that I'd been writing before with Northward and got a release now. It got even the chance to become a mom. So yeah, everybody has been doing stuff, and it's not so that we have not been doing anything between the albums, because of course we went on an entire world tour where we, instead of coming with a new album, celebrated our past and got a live CD and DVD out of that thing. So it's not like we have not been doing anything, but that break and for Tuomas to write Auri and work on that unlocks all the blockages for him to just come with this magical new stuff for Human Nature.
Yeah, so, I mean, Endless Forms had a 24-minute track, The Greatest Show on Earth. On Human Nature, you've gone one further with a half-hour instrumental cut into 8 segments.
Yeah.
When Tuomas kind of comes out with these ideas and he's saying, like, I want to do this time. I mean, what's the first thing that goes through your head? Like, do you just have to trust him that he's going to make it work? Or yeah, does he sometimes come up with stuff where you're like, oh my God, I don't know about this?
He hasn't, no. No, and that's why, you know, when he comes with this, it's like, okay, we're in for a good treat. That's more how I feel it. Yeah, there are not too many bands that if one of the band members would say, I'm going to write a 35-minute long suite, it has 8 parts, and it's a, yeah, and you're like, oh, really? Cool. Oh, by the way, you're not on it as a band. Right. But for some reason, it makes total sense for that to happen in Nightwish. It's a natural progression into things, and I am singing on it though, and also Duomas is playing some piano in it himself, and Troy is playing on it. But yeah, it makes sense somehow. Like I said, it fits to Nightwish. It's not the band, but it's definitely the Nightwish sounds that flows through the entire thing because it's Duomas's. Yeah.
There's kind of a thread. I don't know if you'd quite call it a full, like a concept album, but there's a kind of thread that runs through a lot of it in terms of our relationship with the world around us and maybe kind of appreciating the world we live in a bit more. Can you kind of explain a bit more about that?
Yeah, indeed. It's definitely from the positive side of things. The album's called Human Nature, and so the first 9 songs are more related to the human end of that title, whereas the long suite, All the Works, is about nature, and it's a musical ode to nature and its diversity and splendor, and of course there's human nature that also comes back. So yeah, it's indeed not a concept album, but yeah, it's a good way to say it's a red thread through it all.
Yeah, and where did that? What was it? Do you think that inspired that theme to run through this album? Where did that come from?
I guess an interest that Duomas is really having, and what we very, very much share. So in that sense, it's an absolute sequel also to Endless Forms Most Beautiful. And it's something that lives very much nowadays, even though it's not based at all on climate crisis or any negative thing. If anything, it really looks at the positive end, the love for nature, the fact that we think that we're part of it. I mean, we have 98% the same DNA as a chimpanzee, yeah. And even a simple banana is so much like us in our makeup that it's hard to pretend that we're not. But some connection, reconnection would be great, and in that sense it's very modern.
Yeah. Do you think there is a kind of thing with humanity at the moment? We're so obsessed with our relationship to the planet that we kind of forget that we're still a part of the natural process of life as it has gone so far.
Well, maybe the way it's in the media right now and what you see and read everywhere on social media, you would get a very negative view, not only on how things are with the world, but also on us human beings, that we're that horrible creature that's destroying everything. And that's not really true. It's definitely helping, and things should be improved, as there constantly are as well. But this overall negativity is not very functional. It's not making any proper changes. Awareness, but it should not just be so negative. We have been around for a long time. Let's not forget the planet's been around for 4.6 billion years. Yeah. It's doing just fine. It knows how to get rid of, you know, bugs like us. It would just be nice that we clean up our garden as you would.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think that the news does keep this kind of negative cycle ongoing? Because it really does seem like you can't open a newspaper or go online without just being absolutely bombarded with all these horrible things that are happening in the world. And sometimes it does feel difficult to kind of see where the positivity is.
I have no idea what the real purpose of it is, because it's not productive in any way. People feel miserable without a real good reason. Nobody gets the total overview, as you say, correctly, without being constantly fed with somebody else's agenda. And of course, it seems to be so that we react way much stronger to negative news than we do to positive news. And they want reactions because it's selling better. So from that end off, we just slowly but surely slipped into this terrible, almost addictive behavior to negative news. Even now with the coronavirus, I mean, it's horrible that it's happening, but it's still really a heavy, heavy cold compared to so many other life-threatening diseases that we've been facing. And the way that it's being put into the news, it sounds like we're all going to die. And 1 or 2% of the people are going to die, just like with more regular lung inflammations or really heavy viruses. So everything, you need to read other news as well. You know, you almost need to look for it to get the statistics on things right. I don't really see the point of it at all. Maybe there's a bad plan behind it, some kind of theory where you need to keep the people stupid and afraid, as they did in the old days with religion. Is this our new religion then? But once again, I don't see the progress in it.
No, I guess there is an argument to be made, not one that I would agree with necessarily, but keeping people in that negative scared cycle means that when you have politicians or world leaders who kind of just come in with easy answers and kind of say, I can fix this, I've got this sorted, it makes them more likely maybe to go, oh yeah, we need this person.
Great, because they're gonna fix hero. Everything. Yeah, maybe that, yeah. Well, that's that with an agenda then, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about the video for Noise. What the hell's going on? me and my colleague, deputy editor Eleanor, we were kind of looking at it, just going, there's so much to break down here. It's obviously lots of kind of fairy tale esque imagery in it. People obviously looking at phones, which sends quite a clear message there about technology, I assume. At one point, there's a baby strapped to a bed with a screen over its head. There's a guy in a gas mask bathing in tar who turns out to be Tuomas. Tuomas hugs a tree and kisses a duck at one point, I think. I'm guessing there's kind of a thread about our relationship to technology and stuff going on there. And am I along the right lines?
I don't know. You tell me. It's interesting to hear what you take out of it, because, you know, it's a multi-interpretational thing, as music and videos are. It's a very explicit video. And some people have been thinking that it's about us being against cell phones. Or, but the thing where it's really about, it's human behavior more than anything else. Our addiction to a world that is not real. To a constant noise without any content, without any self. We just follow in a group blindly and we're completely addicted without even really knowing to what. And technology in that sense has a negative influence on it, but it's not a statement from Nightwish saying we're against cell phones or technology, not at all. It even has a very positive message. As you see towards the end, you do see this first a baby and then a bigger person. You just grow. You see this person grow into adulthood. But in the end, you do see a blue sky. You see the sunrise. You see the actual world. So it's still there. It's just for us to tap back into. So, yeah, it does have a positive meaning, despite the very dark imagery of maybe a guy who Tuomas is representing, who's an activist, who just does everything more for views online than for the fact for his actual care for nature. Or you see me as a mother of a beauty pageant that cares only about how everything looks like and not for her daughter or her well-being and what she wants. So it's a lot of, or Marco, you see Marco eat pills to stay thin, but in the end he's just fat and uninspired and he doesn't believe in his own stories. It's all fake, empty noise.
Do you enjoy that level of kind of, dressing up, getting into real characters when it comes to videos?
Definitely. I mean, we would not want to be doing a regular music video again. We almost didn't make one. But what if we could give this this unique twist and we're going to make something on an extremely high level? It's a really high quality video, really undone before. And maybe we shouldn't be in there. I personally thought that it would be nice for our fans actually to be in there. And then our director considered that and thought it was a good idea, but he gave us these rules. I think it's really cool because they're such opposites also of who we really are. You see Troy, you know, is a king on his throne, completely uninterested in the real world, just watching his phone. Yeah, the king of nothing.
it's a lot of interesting stuff to go into. I mean, we could do a whole podcast just on that, I think.
Probably,
You're playing Wembley Arena for the third time this year, which just is incredible, really. The idea of a symphonic, kind of often quite progressive, conceptually heavy metal band making Wembley Arena their house show is just almost you know, inconceivable, like maybe 20 yeah, years ago.
Absolutely.
I mean, do you guys have kind of ambitions for where Nightwish can go from here? Does it, can it get any bigger than that? You've headlined Bloodstock Open Air over here. You do huge festivals and arena shows in mainland Europe. You know, is there anything else you guys kind of have on your bucket list you'd like to tick off?
I don't think, not like that. I mean, the fact that we're here is completely wow to us, and there aren't any ambitions to become the biggest band in the world. We're super satisfied, and like I said, still awestruck by where we are. And it feels like yesterday that we played it the first time here in Wembley Arena, and we got this nice memorabilia to hang on the wall that says "You sold out at Wembley Arena," and it's proudly hanging up on our wall. And now it's about to happen again, and we do another big arena show here in England in Cardiff Arena. So it's an onward thing that you can't completely plan. We'll see what's come, but we're very, very happy with where we are.
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey. How does Nightwish do in America these days? Because the cliche is that European metal bands struggle when it comes to translating success in the States. That's kind of like the stereotype a lot of people trot out.
Right. Well, not for Nightwish, I think, but we've been playing in the States since the beginning of the band. And it's such a different market, really. So it's always been quite tough to set foot on land. But by the time I joined the band, we really did. So, and we've been also growing ever since. So we will also there start to do quantity. Well, we do quality over quantity, but we'll play bigger. Last but bigger. So we're definitely making the next step to bigger venues, which is a really exciting thing to see happen. And it's an ongoing massive difference between, I think, the European and American market. But as far as I can see, Nightwish has really set foot on the North American shore in its vastness, because it's a huge continent. But onwards we march also there.
Long may it continue. Flor, thanks so much for talking to us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you too.